Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today as we continue an amazing series of studies on the Holy Spirit. Our topic today, the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Stay with us. I know you'll be blessed. And welcome to the team. What a great series of studies this has been.
Yeah.
And I'm excited today because one of our team members, Tricia Lee, is going to be teaching. And it's going to be exciting to see what the Holy Spirit teaches us. In fact, we've been receiving emails saying we're praying that the same Holy Spirit that you're studying about in these recordings will bless you as you share. And that's so encouraging. We'd love to hear from you about how the Holy Spirit is guiding you in your life and perhaps even in your interactive teaching of the Word of God. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. And here are just a few emails that have come in recently. We'd love to hear from you too. Christina, thanks for writing from New York here in the United States. She says, I know you hear the same thing over and over again, but it's true. Hope Sabbath School is great. Amen?
Amen.
Well, she says, I really needed the help to understand the Bible properly. So it's not just entertaining. No, no, no. It's helping me to understand the Bible. She concludes, God bless you all. Please pray for me. I'm really having a tough year. Well, Christina, part of being part of God's family is we not only learn His will for our lives, but we love each other and pray for each other. And we'll covenant to pray for you there in New York. Here's a note from Richard in Canada. Thanks for writing to us, Richard. He says, my thanks to everyone who works the long hours with much dedication to make Hope Sabbath School the high-quality program it is. I would pause and say, that's not just our team here, right? But our media team, I don't know, they don't scan cameras and look at people. But those running the camera, our director, our producer, everybody is part of this amazing miracle of God. Amen. So accept a word, media team, from Richard. Thanks. He says, I love this next sentence, Tricia Lee. I see the loving heart of God and His Son reflected in you.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that a miracle? And we would say, loving heart of God, His Son, and the Spirit reflected in us. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Well, Richard, you brought joy to our hearts. Thanks for writing to us. Here's an amazing email from Indonesia, from Rahasano. She says, thank you for Hope Sabbath School. I am a school teacher in a public school here in Indonesia. I sometimes teach my students using the Hope Sabbath School outline. Sometimes we spend 15 to 30 minutes discussing the gospel and Jesus.
Wow.
Now, here's where she's asking for prayer. She says, I can see some changes in my students. I don't know how long it will last, though, as the principal doesn't know about this yet. Well, we know that when we're doing God's work, He's going to bless. But maybe we should pray for wisdom to know how to talk to the principal about that, too. Pray for me also so I can spread God's truth to my students. Well, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Rahasano. There in Indonesia, you are truly a blessing to your students as you share the word with them. Maria writes from Texas in the United States, I began watching Hope Sabbath School yesterday. So we have a new viewer. This is a great show, she says. I think on DirecTV channel 368. God bless me to still be here. You say, why? What happened? She said, I'm currently in Texas staying with my daughter after two brain surgeries just a few months ago from a ruptured brain aneurysm.
Wow. Mm.
I am blessed to be alive, still have long-term memory, though short-term is not so good, but I discovered Hope TV and Hope Sabbath School, and it is a blessing.
Amen.
Well, I want to tell you, Maria, whatever challenge you're facing, God can bless your mind through the Word of God, and He can bless your life now and forever. Thanks for writing to us from Texas. And one last note, this one is beautiful, from Odell in India. She writes and says, hello, Hope Sabbath School team.
Hello.
I'm 15 years old, studying in the 11th grade in the southern Indian state of Tamil Nadu. My family and I regularly watch Hope Sabbath School. It has helped me to understand the lessons every week and to take part in the interactive study at church. Get this. Especially though, I want to tell you that I have made a decision to be baptized soon.
Amen.
Amen. So she's a follower of Jesus, wants to confess that in baptism. Hope Sabbath School has truly helped us with an in-depth study of the Word of God. I hope you keep on helping others as you've helped us. Well, Odell, if yours was the only email we received today sharing how Hope Sabbath School is blessing lives, it would be enough for us. But thank God that Hope Sabbath School members all around the world are being impacted by the same Holy Spirit we're studying about in this series. Because you see, as we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit brings that truth to our hearts. And that's what's going to happen today as Tricia Lee leads us in a study of the gifts of the Spirit. But before we start, we have a scripture song, a theme song for this series, The Fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. If you haven't learned it, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess. You can download the MP3 file and the sheet music. Sing it in your Bible study group, but let's sing it together now. I love that scripture song, and because it tells us what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us so He can work through us in powerful ways. Tricia Lee, lead us in prayer as we study about the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that You would study with us, that You would bless us, Lord, to know more about these gifts that we're receiving from the Father and from Christ. It will help us to understand how we can use these gifts to further the work that needs to be done. Bless us as we read this word, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're continuing our study about the gifts of the Spirit. So Paul has written a lot about this, and so thank goodness we can start in 1 Corinthians to understand more about these gifts. We'll spend a lot of time in Paul's writings mostly, but we're going to learn a lot of interesting things today about the gifts of the Spirit. Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I will ask Kenneth, if he would read for us verses 4-7, as well as verse 11.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4-11. There are diversity of gifts, by the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, by the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Then the verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills.
Thank you. What are we hearing Paul tell us about these gifts?
It looks like all the fruits of the Spirit, all these gifts are manifested by the Holy Spirit. They're all given through the Holy Spirit.
All right, yes, they're from the Holy Spirit. Something else that's right there in verse 4, right when we start that verse.
Different gifts.
They're different. There's not just one type of gift, so there are a variety of gifts that are given. So that's nice to know. We all don't get the same gift. Mm-hmm. It makes it even more special to think that there's a special gift that we can receive. Mm-hmm. Anything else that we notice in these verses?
I think, Trish Lee, that the Holy Spirit knows the gift that we need.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we're not sitting around going, oh, well, I think I'd like this gift or that gift. But opening our hearts to the Spirit and saying, you know the gift that I need. I think that's exciting.
That is exciting. Yeah. Other points?
The gifts are not for ourselves. Mm. It's for the profit of others.
Wow. Important point. So there are different gifts. Yep. We receive them from the Holy Spirit. They're not for ourselves. So important thing. So how do we get these gifts? Have you ever gotten a gift from someone that you don't know? Or how likely is it to get a gift from someone you've never met before? Has it ever happened to you?
Very unlikely.
So it's happened to Stephanie. For the most of us, though, it's not pretty typical that you receive a gift from someone that you've never met or you don't know.
True.
And we'll see a little bit of the same thing here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 through 9. I'll ask Marcus to read that for us. And we're going to see that there's something about relationship that helps us receive these gifts.
Okay. I'll be writing from the King James Version, 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. So we have fellowship with Christ. Christ wants us to fall short of no good gifts. Let's look at another verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. I'll ask Nayara to read that for us. Ephesians 4, verse 7.
Okay. Ephesians. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Amen. Amen. So we see Paul painting a picture of by fellowshipping with Christ, we get access to these amazing gifts that he wants to give to us. And so these aren't just gifts that are not specific. The Holy Spirit wants to give them to us. We learned in chapter 12, verse 11, that the Holy Spirit gives these gifts as he will, as he decides. They're tailor-made for us for a specific use. And so it's really exciting to know there's a special gift that God has in store for each of us.
Amen.
Let's take a look at what's the purpose of these gifts. Gary, you kind of mentioned that we can have these gifts to do something with, but let's see what the Word of God says. Let's go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'll ask Stephanie to read verses 3 through the first part of 6.
All right, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 6a. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us.
My version finishes off by saying, let us use them. Okay? So it's funny, my mother, I give her gifts every year for different occasions, and she has this habit of putting it up on the shelf. I'll come back to visit months later, years later, and there it is, untouched. And I always say, okay, mommy, don't you think you want to use this now? This is something I gave you as a perfume. You should be using it. She'll say, oh, no. I won't touch it. I won't touch it. And I know that she's treasuring the gift. That's what it means when she does that. But God is specifically encouraging us to use these gifts. We're not to put them on the shelf and say, oh, it's nice. The Holy Spirit's given it to me. Let's see some more about what we should use these gifts for. Let's go over to Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 11 and 12. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, I'll ask Jonathan to read that for us.
Sure. I'll be reading from the New International Version. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up.
Amen. What specific purpose are we hearing here?
To build up the body.
What does that mean? What body are we talking about? Do I have to go work out in the gym? What body are we talking about?
The church.
And not just to build up the body, but to equip them for ministry.
Ah.
So it actually, I think the gifts impact the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts by impacting those who are part of the body of Christ, the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. So a church that's not functioning, that's not doing ministry, that's a problem. So we're building up the church through ministry. We're ministering to ourselves, we're ministering to others. Marcus, did you have a point?
Yeah, and all the gifts that we have, they work together to accomplish that which the Spirit wills. So it's not us in the driver's seat, it's the Holy Spirit that wills us into action, and then we all complement one another by those gifts and by exercising
those gifts.
Let's
look at another verse that speaks exactly to that point, Marcus. I'll ask you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. We'll go right back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read verse 4 through 7, which talks exactly about those points you just made.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 7. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God with which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
Amen. So it's for all of us to benefit,
Amen.
For all of us to be blessed. And so I might not have the same gift that you have, but it sounds as though by all of us receiving gifts from the Holy Spirit, we're not just blessing others. We also get blessed as a body, as a church,
Amen.
As we minister together. It's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
So we get gifts from the Holy Spirit. We don't just get them because we don't know God. Mm-hmm. There's fellowship with Christ. And by fellowshipping with Christ, we have access to these gifts that are tailor-made for a specific purpose, mm-hmm. not just for us to hold on to and hoard, but for us to use to build up the church, to minister to others, mm-hmm. to be a blessing. Let's look specifically at what some of these gifts are. Let's go and stay in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And I will ask Stephanie if she would read for us verses 8 through 11. We're going to skip through this chapter some, and we're going to read a series of different gifts. There are many listed here.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills.
Stephanie, I'll ask you to skip down to verses 27 through 30, and there's some more gifts listed there as well.
Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way.
Amen, amen. Many gifts listed here. So let's talk about this. Any particular gifts stand out to you that just sound like, wow, that's an amazing gift to have?
Well, I think what stands out to me is we each have a role to play. We may have a different gift, but it works in sync with everyone else's gift to serve and glorify God.
How are these gifts how do these gifts actually build up the church?
I think it helps to strengthen the church and strengthen what we do, but to the point of, it's interesting, it calls it the body of Christ. Our body has very different parts to it, our arms, our legs, our head, and they all work for one goal, which is for our body to work. And so our different gifts that we each have, whether it be prophecy, whether it be translation of tongues, works for the body of Christ to work as one goal, to basically spread the word to the entire world of who Christ is.
And I was thinking, Tricia Lee, that actually our Hope Sabbath School team is a great example because we've got some very technically astute people running cameras and switchboards, and we've got people who understand lighting, who have really good eyes to know how that works. And we have people like you with the gift of teaching, sharing today, and people with the gift of discernment and of knowledge who are interacting. And it wouldn't work unless we were all using the gifts.
Absolutely.
So it's like Nicole said, we're like one body, but all of those parts are vitally important in order for Hope Sabbath School to fulfill the mission.
If we had lights and no participants and no teacher, we wouldn't really be ministering, would we? So to Nicole's point, we have to exercise and use all these gifts. Mm-hmm. Just like if you're an athlete, you have to strengthen and train all of your muscle groups. Mm-hmm. If you're weak in one part, the rest of you, no matter how strong it is, won't be able to function properly. Mm-hmm. Jonathan?
Yeah, I was thinking, it seems like somehow the way that God gives them allows us to do powerful things for him in a way that still keeps us humble. Because, I mean, you may look at someone else as like, oh, I wish I could do that. And God knows what you need, and he gives you what you need and doesn't. I mean, if you look at some of these things, I think it can be tempting to kind of seek after power and like, oh, I want to do this amazing thing. I want to do that. And I think maybe how God gives them is part of the way that he kind of keeps us keeping our focus on living out the body of Christ. Our focus is blessing, is being testimonying to God, Christ and his work. And maybe through that process keeps us from kind of going too much towards us and focusing ourselves.
Yeah, some of the gifts that are listed here are amazing. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit just giving you wisdom? I am now wise. But it's not for us. It's for us to bless other people. Yes. Prophecies, being an apostle. Some of these things just sound, as you mentioned, Jonathan, like amazing gifts to have, or things that we as humans would like to look to or think that are the best things to have. But let's look at some more gifts over in Romans. And I love that Paul included this. Romans chapter 12. There's some other gifts that we're told we receive from the Holy Spirit that we probably haven't thought of. Brittany, would you read Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8 for us?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So we have prophecy mentioned again. What are some new things that were mentioned here?
Serving.
Mm-hmm. Serving.
Exhortation.
What is exhortation? What does that mean to exhort?
Exhortation is encouragement. Mm-hmm. I myself had not experienced this gift before, but as of late, it's true. I hadn't experienced, but I can say that I have been an encouragement to other people, and some people have been an encouragement to me.
Wow, yeah. Wow. That's powerful. Sometimes I find myself in situations where people share information with me, and it's as if I just kind of, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to you. But at that moment, that is a gift from God when he gives you the right words to encourage someone. Because they opened up to share with you. What else is listed here that's listed as a gift from God? Leading? Leadership. That's a gift. If you're following the wrong person, you can end up in the ditch, right? Yeah. Leadership.
Giving. Mercy. One, the mercy. Gift of giving. Most people giving. Don't think about that as a spiritual gift.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people, maybe God has blessed them with an unusual amount of energy or an unusual amount of resources maybe
yes.
given to them through their family or because they're very successful in business. And their gift is to be able to give the resources to help fulfill. Maybe one with the gift of teaching goes to some special mission assignment. That person can join in that gift through the gift of giving. So
Amen.
That's one we don't often think about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I find it very interesting that both this section and the one we were just reading in 1 Corinthians 12 are followed right after about a whole section on love. Mm-hmm. And even in this section, it says he who has each of these is kind of followed by something that captures it in more from a spirit, more from a he who has prophecy do it according to his faith. Mm-hmm. And so it should flow out of an honest heart that is changed in Christ's character that Amen. Then reveals itself in the gift.
Amen.
So it's integrity.
I've never thought about mercy
yes,
as a gift from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. It's listed here as not just showing mercy, but showing mercy with cheerfulness. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, have you ever seen someone do the right thing, but maybe they don't have a good attitude?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can kind of tell they're doing it from a sense of obligation
yeah.
or duty. But to truly have cheerfulness when you're showing mercy to someone that otherwise you'd probably want to, you know, weep with them or be depressed at their situation, but you can still maintain cheerfulness to help someone. Wow. 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 Lots of different gifts. What's something that we're seeing that's kind of common with all of these gifts?
They're all from God.
They're all from God. They all have some love involved in it.
There's a direction to act on them, not just to hold them for yourself
mm-hmm.
or to,
mm-hmm.
as was said earlier, we're supposed to be humble. And so we're supposed to actually use these gifts to serve others. So there's that whole theme of doing.
They're mm-hmm. all can be used.
Yes.
They can all be shared in some way.
Yes.
And I think that's amazing that God has not just given us a gift to put on the shelf or something we can store up in a bank somewhere. They all can be used or shared with someone else. And that is amazing.
Mm.
It's also very surprising when you actually share your gift that it's very fulfilling to more than just the person that you're sharing it with, to yourself. It fills your heart with joy if you just take the time to use that gift.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, it's like you said, it's wasted up in a shelf somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Or think about children when they receive a new toy, right?
Yeah,
it's fun to play with it. But do you really want to play with it all by yourself? Or notice how children might invite their friends to come play with their new toy with them. It's so much better when we can use these gifts to benefit other people and to share with others.
Yeah.
We read through a lot of different gifts.
Yeah.
And thank God there are so many. Because as our faces are different and the needs are different, as the different communities that our churches and we live in are different, so are the needs different. Are there any gifts of the Holy Spirit that we didn't read, that weren't mentioned here, came to mind?
I think a big one that isn't listed here is hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people who are just so warm and loving and inviting you into their home and just showing you Christ and his care and his love for you. But I didn't see that in any of the lists.
Yeah, and when I was thinking of, remember in the Old Testament, a spiritual gift was given to a person to make furniture for the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dear friend named Evie who has the gift of sewing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a craftsman just like the man in the Old Testament, but she makes these beautiful prayer quilts that are given to people in a time of need. There's nothing magical about the quilt, but it's made with a lot of prayer and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
People look at it and they say, that's beautiful. You made that for me. And it's, yes, that's to remind you that we're praying for you. So I think there are many, many gifts. In fact, I think that's Paul's point. Every list seems to have new things in it,
mm-hmm.
is that there are many gifts that he gives, but he gives them all for the building up of the body and the blessing of people.
Amen, amen. What spiritual gifts do you think are most needed today? Most.
I think discernment is one of the most important ones. Because discernment, it crosses over a lot of different boundaries. You know, you can have all the other these other fruits of the Spirit, but not knowing when the right time is to use them or how to use them properly. But if you have discernment, you can use that to know when to use those gifts. And also to know what the Bible wants from us, because a lot of times people think they're doing the right thing or they're going out of their way to do something that is supposedly the right thing. But if we have discernment and we to know Scripture and to know those things, then we can be a blessing to others.
Amen, amen, and not be deceived.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen, amen. Eric?
I think encouragement. I think we live in an age where we're so busy. Everyone is so busy that we never get time to sit and listen to other people, or have someone listen to you or encourage you. And sometimes we often feel like we are all alone. And if we share some, you know, if we take time to encourage someone who may not even know that they're down, because you know, sometimes you can see it, and you're like, I feel like in deep down that you're down. Something is weighing on you. Encourage, you know, take that time to share with them and encourage them.
Yeah, I was also thinking that love is one that is needed a lot, especially now, because the Bible has already told us that towards the end of time, the love of many will grow cold. And there are people out there who are hurting, who are they're not being treated fairly. But if we could just show them that kind of love, maybe it could turn their life around or give them that kind of hope that, okay, not everybody hates me, but it's, you know, someone that loves me. And it's not just a person, but this love is coming from God himself that has been shown through a person to us.
I think it's a bit of a trick question, because the truth of the matter is we don't know. Right. The spiritual gifts most needed today are the ones the Spirit gives.
Ah.
and he's going to give them to this young woman in this setting, because that's needed there. That discernment's needed there. But to the gift of love, because it's so desperately needed there. And that's where I think it's wonderful you started out by talking about a relationship with God. And our hearts open, not to kind of, what would you say, covet certain gifts, but to say, Holy Spirit, you know what's most needed right now, right here. And I think that's the gifts that we need to use.
That's true. That's interesting. Why do we think that at the end of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul makes this statement? Jamie, read that last verse for us, 1 Corinthians 12:31.
The New Living Translation says, "So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all."
We should desire, earnestly desire the best gifts. Okay, what does that mean then?
I think it is the gift that directly contributes to the community and also help lead the people of God in proclaiming the gospel and also bringing others to Christ. Those are the best gifts.
But I want this gift. You're saying, no, that's not the type of desire that I should have, Nicole?
Well, I think that it goes back to relationship. And I think it's desiring that the Holy Spirit will fill you with the gift that you can serve other people. So I think it's more of a, Lord, open me and allow me to be receptive to the gift you're going to give me. And then earnestly let me use it to serve your body, to help others know who you are.
So it's not like when it's my birthday and I tell my loved one, I really, really want this thing for my birthday. What you're saying is that by desiring the best gift, it's really a prayer. That I'm desiring what's best for my community. I'm desiring what's best to serve where I am. And I think that's a very different type of desire. I don't think there are many other places in society where we're called to desire the good of others. If anything, it's just like, what do I want to, you know, make myself better? Jonathan.
Can we go ahead and read the next few verses? Because I think they really do apply very importantly.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
We're in chapter 13 now?
Yeah, chapter 13. Because I think it builds right into this.
And verses until when?
1 through 5.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, it's talking about what you're saying. And then it says, verse 1, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And so I was thinking to that question, like, I mean, it should flow out of love. This, all of these gifts have to start there or else they're nothing.
Would it be fair to say, because I agree with what Nicole said, that the best gift is the gift that God knows we need there.
Right, yes.
But would it be fair to say, this is an interesting thought, that God wants to give all of us the spiritual gift of love? Mm. Mm. Because God's love, Romans 5:5, is poured into our hearts, yes, by the Holy Spirit. We've studied about, yes, that in this series. Mm. So maybe, as Jonathan's saying, God wants to give us all. That is the best gift, mm, because God is love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Loving Him with all our hearts and loving each other. Mm-hmm. Pours that gift in, and whatever other gifts He wants to give us are also the best. Yeah. Mm. Because they're what He knows we need.
I'm going to ask Jonathan to skip down to verse 8 of chapter 13.
All right.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8.
All right.
And read that for us.
Yes, okay. First, reading from NIV. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away.
We'll talk some more about what that might mean, what Paul was saying about prophecies passing away and tongues failing or ceasing. But wow, love never fails, mm-hmm, because that's who God is. Mm-hmm. That's the character that He's building in us. Mm-hmm. All these gifts He's giving us are to motivate us through love to serve others. Mm-hmm. And so it is the greatest gift of all, as we're told in the Bible. And it is the most important motivator of all. And if we have the fellowship with Christ, then we will have that love shining through us and reflecting through, yeah, us. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Beautiful. Amen. So it's interesting. You know, we have these gifts that have been given to us, and as Pastor Derek reminded us, for a specific purpose, for a specific need, to minister to others. Let's look at an example, a wonderful New Testament example of the Holy Spirit giving a spiritual gift for a particular need. Let's go over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. I will ask Brittany if she'll read for us verses 1 through 8.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born?"
Mm. Wow, an amazing miracle. So in the previous chapter of Acts chapter 1, Jesus, risen Savior, has returned to heaven. The disciples were gathered together and they saw Him leave from the mountain. The angel told them, this same Jesus will return. But He also had given them a mission to go out and to spread the good news of the gospel. And they were also to wait for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So they'd been on one accord in the upper room, as we're told. The Holy Spirit descends on them like tongues of fire, we're told. Mm-hmm. And they begin to go out and to preach. Mm-hmm. What is amazing about this account of the sermon and the preaching that is made here? What's amazing about it?
A miracle
languages.
Takes place.
Yeah. A miracle takes place. What's the miracle?
Different languages.
Different languages were heard.
Yes.
Why?
Well, here we had a group of people that was coming together from different areas, and so they had different tongues. They spoke different languages, and when they were preaching here, all the people, no matter what language they spoke, could understand His speaking. And they didn't have translators like here now. We have people standing on the sides translating, but they could all understand it.
It was a gathering of people from different nations, right? So there was a festival or a feast that was taking place. They'd all come at that time. There weren't really translators like we have today that are available to kind of communicate and for people. So that those are two important reasons. The gospel message needed to go out. And so the Holy Spirit was received and gave this gift of tongues so they could each hear in their own language. What do you think was also the blessing that those individuals received, not just by hearing the word? Do you think they just walked away and said, oh, wow, I heard in my own language what these people were saying?
That the Spirit was present.
Yes.
And, you know, there's an interesting thought here. Was it just speaking one language and they all heard in their languages? Or because they were all preaching on the day of Pentecost, not just Peter. So did Matthew find himself speaking to the Egyptians? And did Thomas find himself speaking to the Phrygians and going, wow, this is a language that I've not learned? You know, if it was Paul who'd studied under Gamaliel, we might think, well, he knew a few other languages. These were fishermen and tax collectors. So I think it was a miraculous confirmation of the Spirit's presence.
Yes.
Both for the speakers, like Eric said, I'm blessed too, right? But for the hearers going, these people don't know my language, and yet they're speaking the wonderful works of God.
Yes. Absolutely. When the Spirit gave this gift, there's no way those that heard could walk away and just say, oh, I heard a sermon. They would say to their friends or their family members, I heard a sermon in my language from someone that I'm pretty sure does not know my language, has never traveled to anywhere that I live, and we all heard at the same time. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't just give the gift so it can be used. He also gives the gift to glorify God.
Amen.
Remember, we learned earlier in this study that the Holy Spirit will reveal Christ, and Christ is revealing the Father. And so the gifts are edifying the church, but it's also bringing us closer to God. Amen. And so it wasn't just for them to speak in different languages to sound smart and amazing and very well learned. It was all to give glory to God. Brittany?
And the result of that, in verse 41, it said that then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them.
Amen. 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 To God be the glory.
Amen.
Great things he does. Stacey.
And what I found very remarkable about that gift that they got at that moment, where they were speaking different languages, was that there was a meaning to it. They weren't just speaking and showing off that, oh, see me, I can talk in a language that you can't understand or you don't even know. Like, I could never speak this language before. But it had meaning because, like she just said, at the end, when they heard that message, they accepted it, they believed it, and they were baptized. I think that makes a big difference because we have people today that think that the gift of speaking in tongues is just talking in an unknown language, even though there's a specific gift for that where nobody else understands, except between you and God. But we have to understand that there has to be meaning, because if you're speaking in a language and no one is benefiting from it, then what's the point of it? So just to understand that the Bible clearly says that those people who heard it in their language accepted that truth, heard the message, and they also became baptized is very important too.
The gifts have a purpose. Amen. Marcus?
And also too, let's remember that the Holy Spirit, of course, in the form of those fire and tongues, used his power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit driving the interpretation and the speaking of tongues. So without the Spirit, there is no power to accomplish the work.
I think that's a really good point that Mark has made. The Holy Spirit is not only at work in the disciples speaking, but in the people listening with an open heart. There's a miracle happening in them too.
Amen. It sounds like the greatest gift is that we're able to participate in this ministry. These gifts are given to us to minister to other people and to build up the church. But you're right. God could easily just get his message across to whoever he wants to. But he chooses to use us to encourage, to show mercy, to prophesy, to lead, to teach. And the blessing is for us to get to participate in this fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Wow, wow. So let's go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to that verse that we read, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. And we read that love never fails. But Paul also made these statements that prophecies, they can fail, tongues, they can cease. And there are some that believe that Paul was telling us that one day these gifts of the Spirit will cease, that we'll have gifts for a certain period of time, and that's it. What do we think that Paul was really trying to tell us here? We studied already that gifts have a purpose. Mm-hmm. We studied already that they are to build up the church and to help to minister to others. Mm-hmm. Before we read a certain verse, do you think that there's a time that we don't need these gifts anymore for God's church? Mm-hmm. Jamie?
Well, I think, you know, when the end comes, when we're finally in new heaven and new earth, but for now, the work isn't done yet. We still need these gifts to build up the church.
I think Jamie's right. I think there is a time when we don't need to prophesy to people in other languages about the wonderful works of God because we're all saved in his eternal kingdom. Mm-hmm. But what you're pointing out, I think we're going to read a text, is that between now and then, like Jamie said, there's always going to be a need for all of the gifts the Holy Spirit chooses to give.
Let's see what the Word of God says. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 11 through 13. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13. And I will ask Stephanie to read that for us.
All right, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the perfect man. Are we perfect?
We're not there yet.
We are not there yet. We need these gifts, and they will still be in operation until, as you mentioned, Jamie, until the Lord returns.
Yeah,
Jonathan?
Could you say in some sense that the gifts are given in our lack? And the fact that we lack the fullness of the body of Christ, and thus we need these gifts. So rather than being puffed up, we're like, oh, wow, Lord, we need your special working in a special way.
Yeah, that's what edifies us. That's what builds us up, the humility to know that, wow, we are so far from perfection. We are so broken and we're so needy. But God gives us a special gift to participate in his ministry, to help bless others. And through that, we get drawn into that fellowship. That helps to build us up, especially when we use that gift. Yes. Pastor?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I think Matthew at the end of his gospel also says, you know, until the end of the age, the Lord's going to be with us. So I think we have work to do until he returns in glory.
We need to use these gifts till Jesus comes, okay? If he's given it to us, then it's for us to use it, not to put up on a shelf to get dusty anywhere. So let's ask some questions about how we use or discover these gifts. Because I think for some folks, it might be obvious. I suppose if you just talk to someone, let's see what the gifts of tongues and people can understand you, then you know that. Or if for some reason you're able to absorb new information and you can learn new languages, I think that's a gift as well. But for, let's say, me, I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's given me. Do we discover these spiritual gifts? Or is there a process that if I try something new, if I have faith and pray, then I'll find out what it is that God has given me? How do I discover what my spiritual gift is? Let's get practical, because someone's watching and is like, I don't know. I mean, I've been in the church. I don't teach. I don't have mercy. I'm not very cheerful right now. I don't. My gift is mine. So how can we help that viewer? How can we help even some of us today who just don't know what our spiritual gift is?
Well, I think there are two schools of thought. Mm-hmm. One is that you're supposed to take a survey and you check little things off and they say, well, you have the gift of encouragement. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's another school of thought that says, actually, when you step out in faith, you go on a mission trip, for example, to serve, that the Holy Spirit will give you the gift you need to do what he'll ask you to do there.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
So which of those two is correct? And I happen to think they both are. You know, we can discover something God's already given to us by his Spirit. But I think if I sense the Spirit calling me to go and do something, he will give me the gifts that are needed for that setting.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Any testimonies or how we've experienced the Holy Spirit giving us a gift and how we found that gift and been able to use it? Alex?
First, I wanted to agree with what Derek said. You know, I think it is a little bit of both. There's some gifts that we have that, you know, we're born with, and we could use them in other aspects of our life. But if we pray for guidance from the Holy Spirit and to use those gifts, He can increase them. He can show us how we can use them to help others and in the church. And then also there's some gifts that we don't have. And that's, for me, being an encouragement to others, reaching out to people that are maybe less likely to be liked, or that, you know, that most people may not like that much. And I've prayed a lot about that, and that God would give me that gift to reach out to those, because it's, I felt bad that I didn't, you know, didn't care for people like that. And He's really helped me with that. And so it's meant a lot to me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Daisy?
Well, this testimony is something I witnessed, which was with my dad. My dad was a pastor, and he used to go, this was in Ghana in West Africa. And he used to travel to different small churches to preach. And usually he would preach in English, and then somebody would translate to the local language. But this one specific church that he went to, there was no translator. Mm-hmm. And so he had to preach in the local language, and he wasn't fluent in it. So, you know, he had to preach. So he just prayed, went up there, and he preached in the language, and everybody understood what he said.
Amen.
And so I remember on our way going home that day, he's like, I don't know how that happened. but clearly from the study, like Pastor Derek said, the Spirit gives us what we need at that specific
Amen.
Moment,
Amen.
You know, to get that message to people out there who need to hear it.
Amen. That's Amen. Beautiful. Nicole?
Well, I think there's a gift of listening. I think people sometimes just want to talk and be able to express what's going on with them and not feel like you're going to run and tell someone else what you're saying. So just recently I had someone come and just want to sit and talk with me. And I think that was just a gift that the Holy Spirit gave me at the time, because I was actually rushing to leave. But I actually sat down, listened to what they had to say, and they actually came back later and was very thankful that they had someone just to listen to what they had to say. And so I think that's a gift that simple.
Brittany?
Yeah, I actually grew up and was pretty shy when I was growing up. I didn't like to talk. Public speaking was something I hated. But then I went to the Philippines and was engaged in ministry, and I was often the only one there that could teach, you know, the group of people. So I was often up preaching or teaching a Bible study, and I just felt like God empowered me
Amen.
And gave me that ability. And then now, like, coming back and doing ministry, I still have that ability from the Holy Spirit that I didn't grow up with. That wasn't something natural inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Kenneth.
Yeah, my wife, the parents were missionaries, so she lived in several parts of the world. And when she was young, so when they settled in the U.S., she started working in a hospital institution. And then one day, there were people from different parts of those countries that she lived when she was a child. They came there, and she was the only one who could speak that language and help these patients. So I believe God used her to be able to help them. Mm-hmm. And also when she went to Haiti during their crisis, she was able to minister to them in their language. Mm-hmm. And for someone who don't even know how to speak the Haitian language, she was able to speak that language and help them.
Wow, yeah. Wow. Marcus.
I just wanted to say that for me, I had, you know, ministries and serving and music. I used to play the saxophone, but recently I never knew that I could really sing. And now, just because I've been asked to sing somewhere, and I've been kind of, you could be thrust into a position, right? And then when you're thrust into the position, you basically ask the Lord, you ask the Holy Spirit, please bless me with the gift so that I can minister to somebody else. And what I've found is that the more that you use the gift, the more gifts that you're given. Just like the parable of the talents, right? When the master came back and they had doubled the talents, but if you keep it on a shelf, then that's when it doesn't get used, and it's like it's hidden. So.
Wow. What a privilege to be used by God. Amen. And I think and I pray that our viewers, if they haven't discovered their spiritual gifts as yet, they'll be praying and stepping out by faith and asking mm-hmm. God to give them the gift that they need. But there's one verse that we have to read. And just thinking about the amazing opportunity to partner with the Lord, to get a gift from the Holy Spirit, to do amazing things that we know we could not do ourselves, there's something we have to keep in mind. I'm going to ask Alex to read for us Romans chapter 12, verse 3.
All right. Of Romans 12, verse 3, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Amen. 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 I pray that we receive all the gifts that God wants to give to us, mm-hmm. and that we're able to use them to glorify Him, to do amazing things for His church, to minister and to help bring people to a knowledge of Him. But wow, we have to stay humble.
Amen.
We cannot do this work ourselves. We don't choose the gifts that we receive. God sees our hearts individually. And I think it's also humbling to know that the gifts are spread out amongst all of us.
Amen.
We all don't get the same thing. We have to work together. And I think it's so important that we remember it is truly a privilege when God blesses us with a gift.
Amen.
And it is not for our glory. It's always for God's glory.
Amen.
Thank God that He gives us these gifts. Thanks for studying this lesson. And I do hope that those of us who have discovered our gifts, that we keep praying about those gifts.
Amen.
Keep asking God to give us more opportunities to use them.
Yes.
We don't want to keep them on the shelf.
Amen.
Trisha Lee, thanks so much for a great study. When you were asking about different gifts that we've used, probably some of our viewers were saying, oh, I wish I could share a gift that the Holy Spirit's given to me, whether I discovered it as a gift or whether I stepped out in faith. And I'd like to invite you, our viewers, to write to us and to let us know. You want to share your testimony. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. When you stepped out in faith, and God gave you, by His Spirit, the very gift that you needed. And then how you experienced joy as you let the Spirit of God use you to minister to others, to bless others. You too were blessed. Again, you can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We're not done with this series on the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing journey. If you missed anything in the series, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch the entire series, and I know God will bless you in supernatural ways. But right now, let's pray that we cannot leave the gifts of the Spirit on the shelf, but let them be used again by His Spirit's power. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the gifts the Spirit brings for the building up of the body and for the work of ministry. Lord, help us to discover those gifts, to respond to the call of the Spirit, and then to use the gifts empowered by the Spirit to bring honor to your name and blessing to your children. And we will give you all of the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. Thank you, Trisha Lee. What a great study. And thank you for joining us. I pray that you wouldn't just say that was good, but listen to what you've learned by the Spirit. Put it into practice. Make a difference to those around you.